agenda before us, honourable members. Are there any comments on the agenda that we have, or can we have somebody move adoption of the agenda? Mr. Singh?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. Firstly, I'd just like to explain my presence at this ad hoc committee, if I may. Chairperson, on the 25th of November 2016, we informed the Office of the Speaker and Mr. Shabalala from the committee section that two members representing the other parties were discharged, and those members are Honourable Fonda Merva and Honourable Sheikh Imam. And in their stead, we've appointed myself from and Professor Kubisa, with the alternates being Honourable Kwankwa and Honourable Swat. Now, I note that it hasn't been ATC'd as yet. I don't know when that's going to happen, but my presence here is on the basis that it would have been ATC'd, and I am a full-time member of this ad hoc committee. So that's as far as my presence. Secondly, Chairperson, now we've been reading about certain court challenges, and I would like to know, in the light of that, and in the light of you asking us to consider the agenda, what impact does that challenge have on us going through this agenda and considering all the items on the agenda? Thank you, Jim.
Any other comments on the agenda? We'll address that one. If not, I beg your pardon. Honourable Khosa and then Honourable Ndozi.
Chair, I just wanted to let you know that should we proceed, if we are proceeding with the meeting, I will have to be excused and to...
That's fine, we'll address that one as well. Honourable Ndozi.
Yeah, man, we're dealing with the agenda. We can come to apologies late. I think this agenda is proper.
The item on the agenda, Chairperson, is opening an apology.
I think we must adopt this agenda so that we can hear apologies.
So, Honourable Chauke.
Chair, I move for the adoption.
Anybody second this? Thank you very much. Adopted and seconded. Let's just deal with Mr. Singh's item, but it will be covered in the opening remarks, Mr. Singh. If you can wait until then, and if it's not sufficiently covered, you can talk to it. Is that fine? And then also, your issue, Ma'am Khosa, will also be in the process of the rest to answer your question, but the long and short of it is that you're not going to be here after lunchtime. So, other than those apologies, are there any other apologies that you want us to note? None. Ma'am Panda?
Honourable Waters is running a little bit late, so he'll be here shortly.
We'll note, Honourable Waters, that he will join us later. And those will be the apologies that we will note. Honourable members, good morning, and also to those that are here from the press, good morning. The members, the task before us as members of the Federal Committee feels like the start of a marathon. Ours might appear as a ridiculously daunting task, but as each day ends, I trust that we will experience a sense of accomplishment. The work before this ad hoc committee will no doubt push many of us beyond our mental and our physical barriers. However, we will be amazed at what we are capable of producing and what we will learn about each other in the process. Members, those who came before us, and I think this is important, have taught us not to pray for tasks that are equal to our ability, but that we should rather pray for the know-how to be able or to be equal to the task before us. Let us upfront acknowledge that the work of the ad hoc committee over the next 2 months or so is not just about fulfilling the mandate and resolution as adopted in the National Assembly on the 3rd of November, but rather it's about ensuring that in all our actions as members of the National Assembly and representatives of the people, we perform our duties without fear, we perform our duties without favor, and we perform our duties without prejudice. Our responsibility is performing our duty with fairness, with transparency, and with integrity, and we intend doing that, honorable members. Colleagues, it's about working in a manner that will contribute towards restoring the trust of our people in the elected representatives by us doing the right thing. Most importantly, it's also about our responsibility to reaffirm Parliament as the supreme oversight mechanism over the activities of the executive arm of government, as dictated by Section 55(2) of the Constitution. We thought it was important to raise this because, as we all know, we are politicians, and the temptation to score party political points or to grandstand will always be there with all of us. But notwithstanding this reality, ours is a plea, and we are more than confident that all of us will work as a team with a common goal of producing a report that will withstand all scrutiny when we present it to the National Assembly at the end of this process. Finally, members, the marathon starts now. We must run a good race, because this is a duty that we must see all the way through to the end. When we get to the issues raised by members and to bring us up to speed of the purpose of this meeting, since our meeting on the 16th of November and mandated by this committee, on the 17th, the day after our first meeting, we requested the SABC to provide the committee with documents as we all identified to reach the committee by no later than the 21st. Honourable members, this request has not been honoured. On Wednesday, the 23rd of November, Parliament, in response to the non-arrival of the documents, issued summons against the SABC to provide the documents the next day. As we speak, the documents still have not been delivered. Confronted by these challenges, we as the ad hoc committee are, however, confident and more than prepared to continue with the work. I say that because it's based on the fact, honourable members, that we have in our possession the shareholders' compact, we have the memorandum of incorporation, we have the Broadcasting Act, we have the Public Finance Management Act, we have the ICASA ruling, we have the AG report, we have the Public Protector Report, as well as us going to have the benefit of hearing witnesses' testimonies. Also, honourable members, since the meeting of the 16th, when we designed the program, we had Professor Maguve as the second last to appear before the committee. In other words, around about the 14th. We did so to afford him an opportunity to hear firsthand what all the witnesses had to say, and if he so wished, to interrogate the aspects of the witness's testimony to ensure that this ad hoc committee remains committed to maximum fairness, to transparency, and to integrity. On receiving that program that I spoke about, where the professor was scheduled to testify on the 14th of December, the professor requested, by way of correspondence, to be slotted in before the 9th of December. Due to unavailability after the 9th, at that point we granted that request. But I must say, honourable members, that in light of the court action, this request by necessity will have to be reviewed. The request to be moved to the 9th. With regard to the witnesses list, members, on the 16th we had together identified 39 members, or 39 potential witnesses to participate in our meeting. We can tell you that every effort was made to contact all of them, to notify them that they have been suggested as witnesses, and to request an interview to be conducted by the evidence leader. The evidence leader interviewed 24 who all indicated willingness to participate, with 4 of that 24 raising concerns that we have since addressed. 6 witnesses indicated their unavailability to participate. Any opacks, honourable members? If not, please distribute. As soon as I'm done, we will distribute shortly. Communication between the committee and the minister. Communication between the committee and the acting GCEO of the SABC. Communication between the committee and Professor Maguve. And communication between the committee and the public protector. You should by now all have, honourable members, transcripts of all interviews that have been conducted, and hopefully those are in the members' tabs. Mr. Singh, in as far as the court action this weekend, I want to inform committee that I was only notified about this on Sunday at 10 o'clock. Yesterday, Monday, representatives of the legal department or division of parliament went to court and indicated our intention to oppose the interdict. And a date has since been set for Friday, the 2nd of December at 2 o'clock. Just a cursory glance, and all members have received that summons by email, those that were members. We are confident that the court will rule in our favour. And we are hoping that this matter will be put to rest as soon as possible after the hearing on Friday. We can also say, honourable members, that as soon as the court has made a ruling, and in the event that the ruling is that we continued our business, we'll be ready to roll 24 hours after that. So it's all dependent on when the court finalises it. What it would mean, honourable members, is that we've lost 2.5 days, because the proceedings for 2 o'clock this afternoon, the proceedings that were scheduled for Wednesday, and the proceedings that were scheduled for Friday have all been put on hold until the court hearing. So it's 2.5 days as we speak that have been lost. But I don't think that that should be a train smash, because our programs did not incorporate Mondays and Thursdays as things stand. So if needs be, we will use Mondays and Thursdays to catch up the 2 days and still meet our deadline. Of course, all dependent on the outcome. So, in terms of progress, members, that is on your mandate, and we hope we carried out your mandate where we are now. And hopefully all members are up to speed. What I also want to just share with members now, you recall that I said that there were six potential witnesses that indicated their unavailability and therefore they're not in the program. And I'd like to read it because members must take a decision on them. The first one is Mr. Timbinkosi Bonakela, who's a former board member. And his reasons are that he does not believe that he could add value to the process as he resigned from the board in 2014. The second is Ms. Nombula Mtakaza, also a former board member. Refused to participate because she says she was an ex-board member. The third one is Mr. Jimmy Matthews, former group executive, who indicated that he's traveling abroad. Then there's a Ms. Verona Duarca, a former employee. She says her matter is before the Labour Court. And secondly, she can't travel because of health reasons for the next 4 weeks. We have a Ms. Lorraine Francois. Ms. Francois indicates that she was the former audit executive. And she indicated that the nature of her job or her profession would be put in jeopardy because she's in a job that requires 100% integrity or not being in, for want of a better word. We'll give you, you've got the correspondence there, but confidentiality reasons. That is Francois. Advocate Matunzela. We initially got hold of her and she indicated that she would be traveling. We've tried two or three times thereafter and she's not come back to us as of today because she is traveling. And then the public protector, the person, in other words, advocate Lucisiwe, was unavailable because of previous engagements. She did, however, indicate that three of her staff members would be competent to come and present before this committee. However, the condition for them participating would be that it's done in camera. That the three that come and talk to the report should do it in camera, in other words, without any. So we have for now put it as the unavailable, but it will all be dependent on decisions of this committee. So those were the unavailable members that we thought we'd raise with you, because we have not taken a decision one way or the other than not to slot them into the program as things stand, awaiting your guidance. The last point is that you recall that there was the SABC 8. Between themselves, they decided that they would not all come and appear, but that they would send four members to appear on their behalf. So it's, as opposed to eight members or eight warm bodies, there will be four warm bodies who would talk on behalf of the of the eight members. So that brings members up to speed. What we will do, and members must decide if we must pause here, but we have got the chief legal representative of parliament who we thought will talk to the issues specifically, Mr. Singh, that you've spoken about, and it's on the agenda. We'd also arranged for the committee to be given a high-level briefing on the financials by the researcher, and similarly a high-level briefing by the content advisor, or the researcher, the committee researcher, that's your title, on the politics. So that would come. And hopefully by the end of that, we would all be of one level in terms of where we are at, but secondly and more importantly, we will be ready to commence as soon as we are given the go-ahead, because we believe that with the work that has been done thus far, we should be in a position to run the good race and see it to the end with a report that will stand scrutiny from any court and present it by the deadline. So that is my input, honourable members, and I'm sure the correspondence has subsequently been distributed to members, the four that I spoke about and our responses. I'm not sure if members want us to stall there initially, or do we want to go on to the legal matters and the other matters and carry on. Let me take Honourable Mathangu, then I'll take Mem Van Dam, and I'll take Mr. Chauke, and then Mr. Singh. Thank you. Then Honourable Khoza. Sir.
Sir, thank you. First of all, I think we need to commend you for the work, you and your team for the work executed over a very short period. And I guess as we get into the detail of the information, we'll be in a position to be assisted to carry out our work. I just want to comment on specifically one matter. I think I'm going to avoid getting into the legal issues because, the matters that are before the court, I think, will be better appraised by the legal team here. I would avoid getting, but just one thing that I felt needs clarity. The invitation to Advocate Matonsela, as well as the public protector team. From your presentation, I get an impression that the two, we view them as separate entities. My view was that the public protector team, truly Matonsela, would form part of the team and not come as an individual. So I just wanted to get that clarity. That's the position. Otherwise, because if he comes as an individual, I think it would be problematic. He should be coming as part of the office. And therefore, it would have been the three team, including her, as part of it. I think that's the main matter. And I think the other questions, I wouldn't have a view. And hopefully when we get the presentation by the team that was doing the interviews would actually be also assisted as to whether we need to take a particular decision on them. Because if we did, there are those people that are crucial in them appearing before the committee. Obviously, the committee would want to consider measures of forcing them to appear. But the last matter that I would like to raise, Chair, the failure by failure to submit the documents after summons by Parliament is a worrying factor. I would have wanted to know as to what action are we taking to sort out the matter, because if there are summons, we should be in a position to have authority to get those questions. As much as I believe that indeed for those people, if we were to decide that they need to come, they should be summoned to come, we obviously should be having recourse to achieve that action. I think those would be my pre-comments, Chair.
Mem Van Dam.
Thanks, Chair. I'd also like to express my gratitude for the great work you and your team have done and making sure that we are ready at this point. It was good reading through the documents and the various correspondence to see how you stood your ground in support of this ad hoc committee, so I'm very grateful for the work that you've done there. I've just got a couple of clarity-seeking questions and then a comment. So from your remarks now, it seems as if we resigned to not getting those documents. So are we resigned to not getting those documents that we summoned? If not, what are we going to do to make sure that we have those documents? I mean, those documents that you mentioned that we do have, they're in the public domain. The reason we're having this ad hoc committee is to find those, to have those documents so that we can discuss them. And then can I suggest that we do not move Mr. Prof. Maguve from the dates that we've given him. We don't. We shouldn't give him any further leeway to want to go to court again and say, you know, the committee has again moved by dates that we had agreed on, so can we leave him at that date? And then about advocates, Busisiwe Mkhwebane, reading through the correspondence, I am very, very worried about the manner in which she's responded to the committee. At first she said she doesn't understand why this ad hoc committee is continuing with its work, now there's only one board member left. And then she said, you know, it's really her prerogative to decide whether or not she must come to Parliament. And then now she suggested that her staff members must appear in camera. We should absolutely not agree with that suggestion. The Public Protector's report is in the public domain, and the Public Protector's office should be able to defend it and speak to it in public. So we absolutely should not agree to anything, any interviews happening in camera. Yeah, and that's it for now.
Mr. Chalke?
No, thank you very much, Chair. Most of the issues that I was going to raise, especially is on the issue of documentation that we requested to be submitted to an extent that we ended up having to issue our summons. Now, and I think that summons becomes the last resort to source information. Powers given by the Constitution and the rules of the legislature. What is the next step, therefore, Chair? The next step will be simple, will now to be taking action against those that are not complying with the request of Parliament. Maybe on the legal team will have to help us just process that part of getting the police ignited. It means that if you undermine Parliament, these are the action that must be taken, because we can't just leave it there and say that they disregard Parliament authority having issued summons and you still refuse. So let's deal with that. What next? Next action, and that action must happen. If whoever that they refuse to submit must be arrested, must be put before the police. That's what must happen. So let's deal with that part. What does the law say and how we do it so that we retrieve those documents, get those documents. And those that are refusing, then action must be taken on them.
Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, as I said earlier, I'm new on this committee. This is my first appearance, so please do have some understanding for ask questions that may have been asked on the 16th of November. But my first one is one of process, Chairperson. Now, I only saw these court documents now, and one of the prayers that is being requested by the applicant is directing the ad hoc committee of the South African Board of Inquiry is suspended and prohibited from continuing to perform the inquiry until the National Assembly has complied with the order in paragraph 3. I'd just like to know from our legal advisors, what impact does that have on us doing any work at all until the courts have decided on what has been requested, even if it means getting briefings, etc. So that's my first one, question of process. Secondly, Chairperson, on the summons. I mean, if we don't comply with summons, it's contempt of court. And the powers that we have here in Parliament to summon people are similar to that of court. And a person is arrested for not complying with summons. So we'd really like some advice from our legal advisors on that basis. What can be done to bring to books those people that have not complied with the summons of Parliament? The third point I want to make, I want to support honorable colleague Van Damme and others, that we should not allow anybody, whoever they are, in-camera interviews. This is a public process, and this committee has been set up by Parliament, and we should proceed on the basis of every witness that comes here or all evidence that's presented before us must be done publicly. And lastly, Chairperson, I'd just like to know, what is the power of the Chairperson now that the Chairperson sits alone? For me, it's like a captain of a soccer team, 11 players, but you only got the captain and nobody else to participate in the game. Now, how come we have this where the Chairperson is sitting there alone and no powers to control a board can wield so much of powers? I do understand that we have to have a legal process called due process, but maybe our legal advisors can just take us through to enlighten us on that basis. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Cause.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've been partially covered. The only aspect that I'm more concerned about is probably if we can get this sense of what sort of matters are going to be covered under legal matters, because one would actually love to hear what constitutes a fairness within this particular context, and which will also be speaking into the issues of the composition of the committee. And again, I think one would also want to hear what is the status of this meeting in the light of the court order that says we should not proceed with the inquiry. At what stage does the inquiry start? Does it start as we convene, or does it start when we start interrogating witnesses or engaging with witnesses? Chair, the other thing which I'm in agreement with the previous speakers on is the fact that Parliament is a transparent institution, and therefore it's important for us to make sure that whatever we do is conducted in a transparent manner. However, those witnesses that are not necessarily working within the institution, who may not want to be interrogated because of the fear of their own safety or whatever, I do think, Chairperson, that we do need to seriously consider those differently from the institution. The institution is different because they have that responsibility to do that, but individuals that we may be summoning, we may have to give them a bit of, to give them an ear and hear what they have to say, and possibly find a way of resolving those concerns that they may have. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Ndozi.
No, that's fine, Chairperson. I think, really where I think we should be spending time today is to get the legal report, because you see there's a rule that we can't deliberate on matters that are in front of court, which is a parliament rule, and therefore my advice is that let's get a briefing about what is going to happen on Friday. Personally, you know, I don't trust parliament lawyers. You know, I think parliament has been giving a lot of, well, I've beat them a lot in court. I don't want to be beaten this time on Friday. I have to win. You know, I mean, I'm always part of the winning team. So I'm desperate to hear that they're pursuing this application with the necessary expertise and speed that it ought to be given. I want to agree with the rest of the members. There has to be, we must take exception to how the new public protector is addressing us. I think I trust the Chairperson to can pursue that. You know, we don't want to compare. A lot of people we hire here in Parliament, like this Chairperson of the SABC, but they don't want us to hold them accountable. They think someone else outside of Parliament maybe is the one that they should be, you know, fearing, as it were. The new public protector must be told in no equivocal terms that this is the institution that constitutionally she reports to. If this institution once had to come and speak on certain matters, unfortunately, it is part of her job description to appear. Parliament is her boss, finish and clear. So when we say we want her to come here to speak about her own report, she can't say she doesn't know why we are calling her, because there's no board anyway, maybe in camera and all those things. That's very disrespectful. We've got to register our exception to that. And I'm worried about a public protector that speaks in that manner. Already the question is, which public is she protecting if she's talking like that? It is in the interest of the public that she comes to Parliament and speak about the reports that this office has indicated. And finally, I think the debate about Tuma Donzela was closed in the last meeting, which brings me, you know, next time we must make minutes earlier, discuss minutes and adopt, so that members don't raise the issues that have been concluded. We debated thoroughly about the advocate Tulima Donzela. I mean, it was extensive, and then we reached a conclusion. I don't think we must revisit that. Respectfully, I think members must subject themselves to the previous resolutions of other meetings. To that extent, I also want to, I think we're ready to proceed. Let's attack this interdict. It's not a big thing. I'm just worried, as I said, and I'm concluding here. I think you have done an excellent job to bring us to speed. Witnesses that are not available, tell them that there's more time, because the majority of them is questions of time and out of the country. And you know, people like Jimmy Matthews were going around saying how morally upright they are. I would really like to hear them. We're requesting, let them make themselves available. We're going to be extending time now because of the interdict, but we are appealing. Can they appeal? Can they cooperate with the chairperson and come and share with us so that we restore the reputation of the SABC? I think, chairperson, also there's a confusion. Maybe that we must clarify that the inquiry is about only, you know, whether there is a board or not. Our mandate is very clear, is more than that in as far as the parliament resolution is concerned. So it doesn't matter, even if this guy or this chairperson would resign today, it would not necessarily stop the interdict, because the remit is much bigger than inquiring whether this board at the moment can execute its duties in as far as quorum is concerned. I think we must be confident and proceed in that regard. Thank you.
Honorable Olivia, are you fine? It's the two of you at the back. Are you fine for now? Thank you very much. Many, many, many of the points that members raised are of a legal nature, and I'm sure the legal team will respond to them. Just in terms of the status of this meeting, Mam Khoza, from where I am sitting, that this is a preparatory meeting for the inquiry, and therefore we are more than entitled to sit to bring everybody up to speed. The inquiry would have started at 2 o'clock, so this is a preparatory meeting, and I don't think that there is anything to worry about in that regard. But the in-camera matter, honourable members, I think we are all together in principle and in the spirit of what this parliament stands for. Everything will be held in a transparent manner. However, if there are compelling reasons for individuals, not institutions, for individuals, it will be incumbent on those individuals to give us those compelling reasons, and we'll come back to you and we'll say to you, Mr. X is saying X, is it okay if we arrange for a in-camera meeting? So in principle, I think we're all on the same page, and we will go ahead and plan accordingly. Are we resigned to not getting those documents? Absolutely not, but the legal team will talk to that. From where I'm sitting, absolutely not. The point of Professor Maguve, indeed we put him at the very end because we wanted him to listen to everybody. He then chose to move it forward. Committee is saying to me, that's where it's going to remain. That's where it's going to remain. So as things stand now, I think he appears on this on Thursday the 7th. I think it's Thursday the 7th. Or Wednesday. I think it's the 7th. Wednesday the 7th. And that is what we had granted him. So members are saying to me, that becomes what happened. And indeed, of course, members, when it comes to members, Honorable Ndozi, I agree with you that we thought we'd give you an update as it is now. We will go on and pursue as best as possible all those that are either not available or unwilling because of fear of appearing in camera, and we will keep you up to date as the proceedings or as we negotiate those things. And that will then bring us back to the 38. But for now, if we have to start tomorrow, we've got more than enough that we can work with, even of those that have confirmed. So I'm hoping that members are up to speed and have addressed most of those issues that were of a political or of a committee nature. Can I hand over then to Parliament's legal to deal with all other matters legal and to also bring us up to speed in terms of where to from here?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to members, colleagues, and visitors. I'm going to give a broad overview of where we're at and what's transpired over the last 2 days, and hopefully that would incorporate some of the answers, and where I don't, I will try to go to the outstanding questions. At about 8:30 yesterday morning, I was alerted to the fact that there was an attempt to serve documents on us, and these documents were emailed to various persons. We informed the attorney at just before 9 or at the earliest available time that in terms of Section 5 of the Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament Act, service on Parliament must be requested and authorised by the Speaker or the Acting Speaker. So effectively we were served at 12:34 after having expedited the authorisation from Speaker's office to accept service, because we cannot accept service in terms of the Act until we have the authorisation. So what we thought was humanly impossible, we actually achieved in a very short space of time. But we had to deploy multiple people to attend to this matter because we still had to be in court at 10 o'clock to explain to the court that we had not received service. We also had to get counsel on board without the necessary authorization in place. So I'm sure you can appreciate that it was quite a challenge and quite a risk for us to navigate all the challenges that we were faced with. We were in court at 10 o'clock. The court agreed to for the matter to stand down until the counsel agreed on timelines that were more reasonable, at which stage we then, in the meantime, received the authorization and could proceed with briefing counsel. So by 10 o'clock we'd not yet briefed counsel. The gist of that timeline that was agreed to, which is now made an order of court, is that the matter will be heard on Friday, as the chairperson has already indicated. We're losing the time between now and Friday, but we're also hoping to get the judgment or the order as soon as possible after Friday. We can't guarantee when that will be, but of course we will seek and ask for an expedited order due to the nature of what still needs to be done by this committee. In essence, the notice of motion that was served seeks to challenge the unprecedented, and this is allegedly, unprecedented public condemnation by certain members of the NA, and you'll notice that members of the NA that is being attacked here for unprecedented public condemnation, and also that the ad hoc committee were not competent, members of the ad hoc committee were not competent because there was no guarantee of impartiality, independence, fairness, and so on. So that was basically the one ground that of attack. And there, on the merits of that, we are very confident. Council shares our view that there's no merit in these allegations. And there's indeed precedent, judicial precedent, to the effect that everyone has a predisposition or view about something, but that doesn't necessarily exclude that person or that member from being able to consider a matter and evidence that comes before that group of members or ad hoc committee, in this case, impartially and independently. Then the other ground that much is made of is the summons and alleged defective nature of the summons, more specifically. The section of the Powers and Privileges Act that is relied on is section 14.2b, and they are correct. 14.2b refers specifically to joint committees, but in fact the summons was issued in terms of section 14, read with section 56A, and section 14.2 says that a summons in terms of section 56A to produce documents, I'm just summarizing, to produce documents must be issued by the Secretary to Parliament on the instructions of the Speaker. And section 56A is of the Constitution, of course, that is referenced. So that is in fact what was done. So in our view, that is also without merit because the summons was issued correctly in terms of section 56A. As regards the criminal prosecution of someone who fails to comply with the summons, yes, the Powers and Privileges Act indeed does open that person up to criminal prosecution, but in terms of this pending court case, we would now ask the court to pronounce itself firstly on the validity of the summons, because that is what is under attack. So once that is done, the committee can then take the matter further. With regards to, that also ties in with the failure to produce the documents. There is, in fact, an obligation to produce the documents. But let us then, out of deference with the courts, take those decisions after the court has pronounced on all of this, because I'm sure that it will. Let's see, what do we have outstanding? Oh, yes, the powers of the chairperson. Yes, indeed, the Act does require that we have, I think, at least 9 persons for the board to be functioning, albeit that one can fill the vacancies. I think this process is in terms of Section 15, Capital A of the Broadcasting Act, and due process is required for the removal or the possible removal of the board or any remaining board members. So in terms of fairness and the rules of natural justice, one has to give the remaining member a fair opportunity. If there's anything else, I'll get back to it, but I'll pause there for now.
Honourable members, I'm hoping that that is just a briefing. I really don't want us to get into the merits of this matter because we will jeopardize whatever. We thought we must be brought up to speed. I think what the committee must pronounce on is whether we're comfortable with the direction and leave everything else, because we will run the risk of preempting. So let me put the question to the committee. All right? If you... Are we agreeing that we're not going to discuss the merits and the demerits of it? Honourable Chauke and then Honourable Singh.
And then Honourable Chauke.
Chair, nothing to do with the merits, but I'd just like to know, at least three members of so-called, they call us other parties or whatever they'd like to call us, but we are parties, at least three members have been cited as respondents in this court application. I'd just like to know who is going to represent. Will Parliament arrange for these members to be represented in court on that day, and can we have timeliest notification and interview with those particular members. Thank you.
Honourable Ndlozi?
No, I don't know why we can't go through into the merits, because we must instruct our lawyers. So I just need clarity. I want to, you know, Chairperson, this thing of law is very complicated. So now I just want to know, because I want to be able to give the instructions as a member of parliament to our legal office. Having been interdicted, it looks like even my name appears there. Oh, no problem. But I want, I don't know that it's prejudicial to just basically give instruction to the lawyers. And I think that I must sort of get a allowance from you. I want to return to the question of summon. Which is also, it looks like something that depends on the interdict. But in principle, in general, you know, we have to be, anybody in South Africa must know that Parliament is not where we play games here. You can't defy an institution like Parliament. Actually, out there, there's no legitimate public representative above parliament. In principle, democratically speaking, in terms of our constitution. And then we ask you to come and speak to us, particularly when you are a public institution, and then you give us a merry-go-round. I think it's arrogant and we have to take a serious exception. Otherwise, no one will ever take this parliament serious. So this is not just in relation to this chairperson. I think, but in relation to this particular issue, we have to demonstrate seriousness, because it's like we're getting the same type of vibes from the public protector. And I'm really worried that people can just do that. So can we be able to also get clarity in relation to that? The Powers and Privileges Act is very clear. I would be interested in giving instruction that someone being defied is criminal and the consequences must follow. And if we are requesting you to come to Parliament, you don't come, people must know that they can be summoned, particularly those that ought to report to us. That if they don't, it's a serious breach of the laws of this country. So I don't know, but advise us, because I want to give instruction, or should I write separately? I mean, we're mentioned there. And then you are telling us we can't talk. It's not fair.
Mem Van Damme, and the last one will be Kubisa.
Thanks, Chair. Just to say that the Democratic Alliance will be joining Parliament in opposing this matter. There were two prayers in Prof. Mugabe's application. The one was for the entire process to be stalled, and then if not being stalled, if the entire process is not stalled, his serious objection was with three members of the committee, myself, because I once in the past said something about the board, and then Liesel van der Merwe from the IFP, and Floyd Shivambu, who were at that meeting on the 5th. So on what basis are you opposing? Are you opposing for the current list of members serving on the ad hoc committee to continue to do so? Or have you conceded on the points of Shivambu and Van der Merwe? Thanks.
Honorable Kubisa.
Chairperson, I think we really need to be advised legally, because when somebody has issued summons, it then turns out to be a legal matter. And I also note that those members who were there in the first meeting have all been cited here, although the grounds have not been given. Definitely we'll have to get some legal direction in with regard to that. Thank you.
Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the first question, indeed the summons is a very powerful right that the Constitution gives Parliament and this committee by extension. And if, however, the very essence of what's being challenged is in fact the validity of the summons. So whilst it has serious consequences for someone who does not comply with the summons, out of deference to the court, we'll only be able to take that next step once the court has pronounced on the summons. And the fact to hold the processes until after the court has made that decision was by agreement. So, you know, in all likelihood, if one doesn't come to that agreement, the court will order you to wait until the court has had an opportunity to pronounce. So that's where we act. So we cannot act any further on ensuring compliance with the summons until we've had the court consider the matter. Then with regards to the members who are cited, I still need to get instructions from the chairperson with regard to what the members' views are. The same council was happy to represent all the respondents in respect of the speaker, the secretary, the ad hoc committee, the chairperson of the ad hoc committee, and the individual members. And as if I recall correctly, there are only two members who are still and I hear Ms. Van Damme expressing her view. So it's the first time that we now get that insight, but we'll take that matter further with the chairperson and with council. What was the outstanding question? It would be much neater if the committee as a whole does the opposition and all the members abide. So that is ideal. But if there are individual members who have different views, then I suggest that is dealt with politically and that decisions are then taken based on how members feel.
But I don't want to also, because I'll be accused of whatever. But I'm seeing the same hands again, and I'm just saying, at some point we need to move on. But let me take Masangu. Let's take Ndozi. let's take Makosi. And the absolute last speaker on this point will be Mr. Chauke. Anything beyond that, we will take to our chambers of those people. Anything beyond this. So, over to you, Mr. Honorable Mathang.
Just one quick matter. You know, I think the meeting may need to consider, in post the court hearing, having an in-house executor for any other summons, so that we close the gap. You know, we do not allow a process that's going to go on and on and on, because if we don't have that capacity in-house, it's going to be a process. We take a decision, and it has to be communicated to another office. I think bringing that capacity closer here, either of the police or whoever else that can execute those kind of decisions fast, I think that would be my proposal.
Honorable Ndozi?
No, that's fine, Jefferson. Thanks for the clarity. I think we're protected by the things, by the Constitution, about the things that we say in the House, that they cannot be used against us anyway. So I thought that on those bases we could discuss, you know, they could actually explain to us what is their strategy legally in relation to the case on Friday. But it's fine, maybe it warrants the separation of powers, I don't know, which doesn't leave us much ground, but to have to consider joining as well in order to defend ourselves. Because if somebody is saying that we cannot form part of the work of parliament because we are members of political parties that have taken views, then our democracy will definitely and absolutely be unworkable. We've interviewed the guy, he never thought of it being unfair. We gave him a job and recommended him to the... all those things, he never thought of it to be unfair. When we now want to inquire about his performance and everything, all those things are questioned. So if we can't get instruction, or rather be advised about what is the legal strategy, because that's what that's for me what should determine whether some of us want to join as political parties in opposing the interdict. If we can't do that, then they leave us no choice but to constitute our own legal action. Because we'll have to hear the legal strategy. I haven't heard that.
Honorable Kosa.
Chair, you know, it's very rare that I actually concur with Honorable Ndlozi. But there is merit, though, in what he has proposed earlier, not about whether you are qualified to speak as our legal attorneys. No, I'm not getting into that space. That belongs to him. He has to talk more on that himself. But, Chair, we are cited here as respondents. And logic suggests that we need to be taken through, you know, what are these charges, so that we understand. And we also need to understand what is the strategy going forward. Because it's no use leaving it to you, because some of our names are appearing there in person, and it's very important that we get to understand how we are moving forward, so that we understand whether the strategy that you may be employing or parliament that might be employing is effective or not. And other members have already suggested that maybe the parties may choose to join in, and we can't decide on that until we have been briefed on what is actually, you know, the substantive matters that are involved in this whole legal process.
I've got a dilemma. Chauke?
No, my last point would be agreeing with what colleagues have raised around here. The issue is more about protection of members to be able to do their work. I'm agreeing with what colleagues are putting forward. I want to propose that, Chair, what we then do is that yourselves, together with the legal team, we need to consult with chief groups of parties. In the morning earlier here, the chief of the DA was here for no reason but to come and protect the member of PTA who's being cited. It's important that you consult the speaker. We consult with the chief whips of parties. We give them what Honorable Lozi was proposing, that maybe let's get the strategic approach in which we are taking to get to challenge this matter. And then from there, members will feel free, because it's parties that allocate us to serve into these committees. So I propose that you do that, Chair, and then the members will then be briefed accordingly in that level of their party level. But at some point, I think here in the committee, as matters develop, as we go towards Friday, I think at some point we'll then get a brief again as to where we're standing with regard to those issues of consultation. It's very important that these issues are, there's proper consultation with all parties in Parliament, especially when we are serving in this particular committee.
Honorable Kelia? You covered. All right. I did say you're going to be the last one. Let me make a small amendment, because I'm going to try and summarize what members are saying. Let me make a small amendment, Chauke, to your proposal. Can I suggest, members, that, you see, because we can't discuss strategy in front of 55 million people.
Yeah.
And that is why I'm reluctant for us to discuss strategy. Everybody's watching us. So I want to suggest that we retreat as a committee to a small room after the business and be able to ask these questions.
Yeah.
Having done that, we then can go and confer with our chief whips to say this is what it is, and the chief whips are added as opposed to the chief whip, because we are the respondents. So let us sit and look at it, go and brief our chief whips if necessary in terms of do we think it's the right direction and take it from there. But I don't want us to be discussing strategy in this meeting, so we will find a meeting with the legal team. We will make time that we sit with you behind closed doors and you bring us all up to speed, and you'll then be advised by the rest of us in terms of whether we think you are going in the right direction. Honorable members, that then deals with all matters up to the legal. Impact on the program, I thought we had discussed that, but in essence it depends what happens on Friday. If it's favorable towards us, it means that you must gear yourself up to work at least two Mondays and two Thursdays going forward, because we had not factored that in. And of course, be aware that our earlier decision also has an impact. Honorable members are saying those that we had not factored in because of various reasons, either being abroad and so on, if indeed we bring them on board, it means we're going to extend it by those number of people, and there were about six of them. So as things stand now, we still have all those, in all likelihood we're going to work on those Thursdays and those Mondays, because we are insisting as a committee that we must bring in as many people as possible. So that is the impact on the program, and of course after Friday, we will give you an updated program. Because we also have to go back to the potential witnesses and give them possible dates. Can we then move to the next item? Thank you very much from the legal team. Very, very briefly, Google, can you bring committee members up to speed with your research? I'm saying that because very many of members don't understand the financial jargon. So you'll also bear in mind that members might ask questions that we in Scopa would take for granted. The intention really is to bring you up to speed. We had asked Gugu to go and do a high-level insight into the 3 years as we had agreed upon. And she will give that to us, again, just to empower us for when we interact. So Gugu works at Scopa as part of the research unit there. We'll give Gugu about 15 minutes. We had warned her to do that. And then take it from there. And then immediately after Google, we'll get some insight from the committee researcher. That shouldn't take too long, but I see Mr. Singh's hand.
Thank you very much. Just to use advocate's words earlier, in deference to the court, excuse me, I've got a cold, Chair. In deference to the court, I don't know whether we should suspend all business, including the briefing, and we find time later on during our program, so that we at least honoring what the court might say on Friday. So we've shut shop for now. We wait until Friday and we continue from Monday onwards with whatever business that this committee has to deal with, because it may be possible that some of us may be thrown out of this committee by the court. And then you're going to brief again new members. So that's my suggestion, Chairperson, proposal.
Honourable Oliwe, on the suggestion.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I understand the suggestion. The unfortunate part is we adopted this agenda as it is, knowing that there are those items. Where I'm seated, my view is as long as we don't and get into the inquiry, something to equip us, because we all believe we may emerge victorious on Friday. So rather than delaying this process, let's proceed so that we are ready should we be getting the relief to continue with the process. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Commissioner.
Firstly, I really have a different view. There is a matter before us now. We need to get advice on it. And I know that there are a lot of things involved here. Members that are cited are not given information as to why they are cited. About two members are cited here, and they are given information as to why they are cited. I don't think we'll be acting within the bounds of law if we continue at the moment until we get legal advice as to what to do.
Honourable Kozo, followed by Honourable Walters, and we'll take a decision. And Honourable Chauke, and
we'll take a decision. I was supporting the view that we stand down the items that are in the agenda and we then proceed to that incoming meeting, where we are going to get a proper briefing.
Honourable Waters. Waters. Thank you, Honourable Waters. Honourable Chauke.
No, Chair, I concur that we go for that briefing, then we will be very successful.
All right. Because we work so well as a team, no need to take casting votes or decisions. The ruling is that it will stand down, but can I, because remember we had scheduled this meeting until 1. As a dictator, I'm now going to say that everybody retreats to E340 so that we get briefed by the legal team. March. E340 so that we can get, because time is against us, we need to be able to get these people to prepare adequately. So we'll sit down and we'll have this that Honourable Dozi correctly was saying, let us get a sense in E340. Unfortunately, nobody other than members of parliament are going to be allowed in that meeting. It's a strategy session. To our friends in the media, we're still in meeting mode, ma'am. Hello. To our friends in the media, honourable members, the meeting has been adjourned. Honourable members, as we indicated that we will all move to 3:40 now, and let us thank members for working so well. I thought it would be much more difficult. To our friends in the media, we hope you bear with us that you're not going to be allowed to come to our meeting immediately hereafter, but as soon as we can, we will indicate how we proceed, and that obviously will happen after we've got some sort of direction from the court on Friday. Our own wish is that, and not our own wish, we are making a commitment that 24 hours after a decision is taken, this committee will be ready to roll. 24 hours after the decision is taken, we'll be ready to roll. And thank you very much for being here. The meeting has adjourned.